remind us all that this is the day which the Lord has made. We will. All right, and you guys are still doing great these couple of weeks into 2016 also. How fantastic is that? I don't know why I get so excited. 2015 was a great year for me. 2016, I think, is just going to be a better year. So I'm hoping the same for all of us. If we know Christ, I don't see how it can't be a better year. Amen? All right. Well, that being said, Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have life more abundantly. Thank you all for knowing that. Tomorrow, Prayer of Faith at 2 p.m., we will have a celebration of life for David Roush. That is Donna Clark's brother. He passed away Friday morning. So David has been here a few times, and he passed away. We're going to have a celebration of life here tomorrow for David. We do need some help. If you are available to help tomorrow, please get with me or Cindy right after service so that we can get you lined up on some things. As a church family, we want to be here to support one another through the good times and through the bad. The Bible says we will rejoice with those who rejoice. We will cry with those that cry. And we'll be sad and we'll stand beside them. Sometimes they don't need scripture thrown at them. They need a body standing next to them. And that's all they need and desire. So please, if you're available tomorrow, just let Cindy or myself know right after service. We have some things that we're going to line up for them. But a celebration of life for David Lee Roush tomorrow, 2 p.m. here at Prayer Faith World Outreach. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn to the book of Jonah. It's in the Old Testament towards the tail end of that. And while you're turning there, viewing for David, if you know David and are interested in that, it is today only. From 1 to 8 p.m. at Rest Haven Cemetery, or funeral home down at 104th and where? Thank you, Western and Walker, in between those things. It straddles a few of those things. But today only we'll be viewing for David if you are interested in that, from 1 to 8 p.m. So in the book of Jonah, we've talked about Jonah a lot before. We've covered him before and we've talked about him and what he does. And what he did. And I kind of ask you guys to put yourself in Jonah's position. God tells you, hey, I need you to do this. And we're going to Jonah chapter 3, actually, is where we'll be taking the scripture out of. I'm going to reference a few things in the beginning of Jonah. But Jonah says, hey, I need you to go here. And as Christians, a lot of time we say, you need me to go here? He says, yes. We say, okay. And we head off the other way. And Jonah did that, and we know that. And then there are some troubled times there for Jonah. 3 days and three nights. Someone else struggled for 3 days and three nights inside of something. That was Jesus in the tomb. And God said, I need you to go here. And Jonah, probably begrudgingly, still said, okay, I'll go this time. And he went. So we reference Jonah. And if we were Jonah, what would we do? Would we be obedient? Or disobedient, go the other way. Today we're not going to talk about Jonah so much as looking at the people of Nineveh and how they responded. What did they do when Jonah came to them? Did they respond and say, oh great, here's someone preaching the word, giving us the word of God. We're going to respond. They obviously were in a bad way. God said, I need to send one of my messengers down there and here's what I need them to do. So Nineveh is a town located in the northern kingdom of Israel. They had a lot of growth. God said, hey, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to make you prosperous. I'm going to help you grow. That's a great thing. We get the idea that the Lord prospered them in their season, he said. And during that season, Israel forgot. They forgot all about their past troubles, their past trials. And when you get all that good stuff, a lot of times God is good and we kind of forget him a little bit. The Bible tells us we don't do anything and boast in ourselves. But we tend to forget that. We say, well, I did all this. I put myself through school. I did this. I got my job. I studied hard. And I got this. I'm sorry, God allowed you to go to school. Because everywhere around the world, they don't have the freedom to go to school. They don't even have schools in some places. And so God has given you that ability to go and to learn and that freedom to go and to learn. Amen? Therefore, it says, when they forgot their past troubles, they did not return to the Lord. God's prospered them. They went on doing their own thing. Change is difficult. Change is difficult for us as Christians, as well as non-Christians. Can anyone agree with that? Yeah. Well, with that, we've got more great news. Nobody here won the lottery. Isn't that great news? We don't have to change. We don't have to change our home, our car, our friends. I'm sure you guys, if you won the lottery, would be attending a different church right after you donated graciously, as most of you promised you would if you won. Jackson always said, man, if you're not giving now, you're not going to give then. Okay, so I'm just thankful that we did not win the lottery in this church, because we don't have to struggle with all those things. And we don't have to worry about forgetting our past troubles. They're still here with us. But God's here with us also, and they forgot about God. And so we still have God with us. And I know some of us are hoping He'll be with us in the next opportunity to win the lottery. But He isn't. But He's still here with us. So God sent Jonah to these people to address their growing greed issues, their pride issues, their adultery. They were some violent people. The Lord was strengthening, they were strengthening when the Lord prospered them. They were strengthening their army. And they were building up their army. And they did some evil things. And God said, man, I need you to go do this. So in Jonah 3, Jonah walks into Nineveh. He gives them a warning sign and says, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. God had a little mercy. He gave him a little warning. He said, you got 40 days to clean it up, guys. Would that not be nice if God sent someone ahead of us and said, you got a few days to clean up your act and then God's going to wipe you out? Uh-oh, we better get it straight. Sometimes big brothers, big sisters are that way for the parents. You got about 3 minutes before mom, dad come in the door. I heard the garage door opening and you better take care of this. Well, God did that with the prophets sometimes, sending them ahead to say, give them a warning, give them a word from me. To their credit, the people of Nineveh listened. They listened this time. Let's go in Jonah chapter 3, and we're just going to read verse 5 through 10. And it says, so the people of Nineveh believed God. Again, thankful they did that. They believed God. They proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth, from the greatest to the least of them. Listen carefully, no matter where you are in your job, in your school, in your studies, whatever you are, from the greatest to the least, they were obedient. They didn't say, oh, God won't touch me because I lead this great town of Nineveh. I lead this great worship center in Nineveh or anything like that. From the greatest to the least of them. Then word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe also, covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying this: let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? Let me just stop right there. So that each one could turn away from the sin that was in their hand and the violence in their hand. In other words, you don't have to worry about your neighbor. You take care of yourself and your sin. The Bible addresses that also. The speck in my eye and the log and all those things. Or the speck in my neighbor's eye and the log in mine. You don't have to worry about your neighbor's sin. You address yourself. And let's get ourselves right. And he says, who's going to know? We don't know that God's going to turn away from us. We don't know. He's got fierce anger. We don't want to perish in this, so we better do this. Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. So God had every intention of doing this, and I want us to think this. When we go before God in prayer, well, God already knows what he's going to do. God knew what he was going to do there, but he gave his people an opportunity to repent. He gave them opportunity to change. And they did. And he said, okay, I had this plan, but I don't have to go forward with it anymore. I don't have to do that because they changed. And I don't want us ever to get set in thinking that God's already got a plan. He knows what he's doing. My prayer is not going to change God. We've got to get away from that thinking. God hears our prayer. And God knows our prayers. And God answers every prayer we send to him. And sometimes the answer is no. And sometimes it's yes. And we've talked about this many times. Sometimes it is simply, it's not now. It is not now. You see, around the corner where you can't see, that's where I have a plan for the answer. But it's not now. You can't handle it. You're not ready. I'm not ready to give you that blessing, Adam. But we can't give up on our prayers. Parents praying for lost loved ones, never give up. Never give up. Because God says, I'm still working on them. And I know you want it yesterday, but I'm still working on them. I just ask that you be patient with me. And the parents say, when, God, when will this happen? Could you imagine the parents of the thief on the cross? Oh my God, he went through his day. Wait, he's still alive. He's talking to Jesus. God has his timing, and he sets that forth in the way that he wants. So in Matthew 12:38, also, you don't have to flip there. I'll just read this real quick. Matthew 12:38, Jesus is referencing Jonah. And a lot of people said, well, Jonah, I don't know. They don't, and when I say a lot of people this day and age say, well, I kind of disregard that because there's this big fish thing, and we don't know what it is. And it was a whale, but it was a giant fish, and, you know, who cares? Who knows how big that fish was? But it says this in God's Word, and we say as Christians, we're going to believe this. And so when Jesus references it, we say, do we believe Jesus or most of the things that he says, but not everything? And in Matthew 12:38, he says, then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, teacher, we want to see a sign from you. But he answered and said to them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and indeed, a greater than Solomon is here. Thank you, Adam. I don't fully understand what you're telling me. What Jesus is telling them is, you've believed what you heard. You believe the prophet Jonah. You believe Solomon. You believe prophets that came before me. And you believe kings that came before me. But the one that they talk about, that person's here, and now you don't believe me. You want to see a sign? You see, they had faith. Remember Thomas? The others had faith to believe in him, but he said, not until I see the holes in his hands. And Jesus said, here you go. We do that with our spouses, our co-workers, our friends. They'll all tell us something. We take that as gospel. They said it. It's true. And our spouse can tell us the same thing and prove it. Show me. Where'd you hear that? I don't know why that is, but they were doing that with Jesus. I better move on quickly. Gentiles came to faith at the hearing of God's prophets, yet when the true king showed up, they questioned him. And that they wanted proof. They wanted some other thing. It's referenced also in Matthew 16:4, and again in Luke 11:29 through 32. So Jonah, we have the end here, and it says, then God saw their good works, and he turned from their evil way, and he said, I'm not going to do this. Now flip a few pages forward, and we're going to pass the next chapter, the next book, Micah, and we're going into Nahum. And Nahum is, it comes about a century later, from Jonah. And God calls on him and says, hey, remember that town Nineveh I sent Jonah to? And he went and first he didn't go, but then he went and he straightened it out. We got it all fixed up. But guess what? The people have fallen back into their evil ways and their old ways. Those of you in Wednesday night Bible study know that from our study of Nehemiah. The rise and fall of obedience and disobedience. We've studied Genesis. We're into Exodus now. What do we see? The rise and the fall of the people. The rise and the fall of the followers. And it's the same thing in Nineveh. God sent Jonah. He preached. They listened from the greatest to the least. They changed their ways. They repented. But apparently the babies didn't remember when that happened and their generation came along. And they went back to their old ways. And so God said, I need to send you out there. They built up their army. They strengthened it. Like I said, they did horrible things. They burned children to death. They cut off hands. Just to name a few things of the evil acts that they did. And God said, I can't have that against my people. God had to call this nation into account for their actions, for opposing and ignoring His will, and abusing His people. Nahum chapter 1, verse 1 through 3 says this. Or 2 through 3, I'm sorry. God is jealous and the Lord avenges. The Lord avenges and is furious, and the Lord will take vengeance on His adversaries. And He reserves wrath for His enemies. He reserves wrath for His enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord has His way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of His feet. And it just tells you, troubles are brewing and it's about to come, and it's coming with a vengeance. And by the way, it says He will not acquit the wicked, not at all. So it's coming. And then in verse 6 through 8, it also says, who can stand before His indignation? And who can endure the fierceness of His anger? Can you imagine facing God's anger? It says, who can withstand that? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by Him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knows those who trust in Him. But with an overflowing flood, He will make an utter end of its place, and darkness will pursue His enemies. We have that phrase said, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. Don't have to. God's already done it. He said, man, I'm going to take care of my worst enemies, is what He said. And these are my worst enemies. Flip over to chapter 3, if you would. Chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. It's a bit lengthy. But I want to read what's happening to Nineveh, because we're focusing, rather than Jonah and what Jonah did, we're focusing on Nineveh and what the people of Nineveh did. And it says, woe to the bloody city. That's a great beginning in itself. It is all full of lies and robbery. Its victims never depart. The noise of the whip and the noise of rattling wheels, of galloping horses, of clattering chariots, horsemen charged with bright sword and glittering spear. There is a multitude of slain, a great number of bodies, countless corpses. They stumble over the corpses because of the multitude of harlotries of the seductive harlot, the mistress of sorceries, who sells nations through her harlotries and families through her sorceries. He says, behold, I am against you, says the Lord of hosts. I will lift your skirts over your face, and I will show the nations your nakedness, and the kingdoms I will show your shame. I will cast abominable filth upon you. I will make you vile and make you a spectacle It shall come to pass that all who look upon you will flee from you and say, Nineveh is laid waste. Who will bemoan her? Where shall I seek comforters for you? Well, that's a completely different picture of Nineveh than Jonah showed in his book and in his visit to them. But there's two options that Jonah had when he went in. The first option, I'm going to run away. I can run and hide, said Jonah, or I can respond and go. I need you to go here. I can run and hide over there and hide on the ship. He'll never see me. Remember, they were there. He was praying and they were up there having a good time, the sailors. And then all of a sudden it's Nineveh that was having the restless sleep. He was having the trouble, not the others, because of his sin and his disobedience. You look around and you think, man, I don't understand. Why is there peace here? But, man, in my life it's turmoil. Do you have disobedience? Are you like Jonah where you're being disobedient? God says, I need you to do this and you're going here. Or I need you to stop this and you're not stopping it. I'm just saying, others were at rest while he was not. Jesus in the boat, he's taking a nap. They're tossed about and they're all freaking out. He said, what are you worried about? He's resting. They were not. Where is God in your life and in your soul that he may give you peace? And then today, as we look at the people of Nineveh, the options. The first time, we're going to repent of our sins and our ways because we don't know that God's going to turn back. We don't know that he will turn back. Just in case, we're going to play it safe. And we're going to fast, and we're going to repent, and we're going to turn away. Second option for the second group, they said, we're just going to return to our sinful ways. Christians, that's our focus today. That's our question today. Are we running and hiding? Are we going to God and responding in obedience? Are we repenting and turning of our ways? Or are we just going right back to them? Will we be one of those people that are in the cycle and in the wave? Are we training up our children so that they don't get caught in this? Lord, I repented of my ways. I was there with Jonah and I was one of the repentant people in Nineveh. My children, they were just babies though. Did we teach them up or where did they go back to the old ways? Or were there some young people that said, I repented, but just over time I kind of went back to the same old thing. Let me tell you, the company we keep is going to help keep us in line. It's going to pull us away from the things that are bad for us. Or it's going to pull us to things that are bad for us, depending on that company that we keep. And we have a decision to make. As we close today, that's my question. And we can respond in reference to Jonah, but today I wanted to look at the people of Nineveh. We talk about Jonah a lot. But what about the people of Nineveh? The first group was obedient and repented after disobedience, of course. And the second group, they were not. And we read here in Nahum what God did. He said, man, where are you going to find a comforter? Where shall I seek comforters for you? Nineveh is laid waste. There's nothing there. I'm going to wipe out those people. Great news. We have a Savior that forgives us. We have a Savior that died for our sins on the cross. We sang a song today. What can wash this stuff away? Nothing but the blood of Jesus can do that and replace that. Let's bow our heads today. Lord, we just ask you to show yourself strong. Lord, we ask you to start a movement within their heart. Lord, because it begins in the mind and the heart. Lord, help that be a new person in 2016. Help us to give of our time, our talent, our finances, our provisions. Lord, help us to give those to those in need. Lord, I ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.